Well, as we jump into the 5 o'clock hour, Chargers have a new cornerback, Jimmy Wilson. Padres win today against the Angels. Got basketball tonight here on the Mighty 1090, Aztec basketball pregame show at 8. Tip-off tonight against a really good Colorado State team at 8:30 in the semifinals of the Mountain West Conference. We're going to get back to more of your phone calls here shortly, and then we'll take phone calls up until 6 o'clock tonight. But once again, we want to head out to the Corky's Hotline. Our good friend, national baseball writer for Bleacher Report, Scott Miller, joins us on the Mighty 1090. Where do we find you today, Mr. Miller?
You know, Coach, I'm going to be you find me today on my couch at home watching some college basketball. I'm heading to Arizona Monday.
Oh, very good. You're a big college basketball fan anyways.
Yeah, I love I love this time of year. I mean, you know, with college basketball coming to a head and spring training going on and baseball about to start, you know, it's a great time of year. But, yeah, I just got back from Florida on Monday. And, I've been writing some stuff that I've still got to, hadn't written yet from Florida this week. And, I'm heading to Arizona here real soon. So
looks like
right now I'm in between things.
Yeah, it looks like the Washington Nationals are the team to beat this year in the National League, according to all the so-called experts.
Yeah, it's hard to not go with them based on that pitching and based on the fact that they won the division last year and they got most of their key people back. And, you know, anytime you've got Steven Strasburg and Jordan Zimmermann and Doug Fister and Gio Gonzalez and Tanner Roark, and on top of that you spend $210 million to get Max Scherzer, you know, I think you probably should be the going to the season with the bullseye on your back.
Well, I tell you what, Texas Rangers, what a blow losing you, Darvish, for the entire season. Tommy John surgery, it was announced earlier today.
Yeah, he's going to have the surgery on Tuesday, and that's a tough one. That organization, I mean, after, you know, they had that run of about 3 years there, and they were in the back-to-back World Series, and they had it going great. But since then, it just seems like it's been one thing after another for them. They've had a ton of pitching injuries, you know, from Neftali Feliz. You know, his star has just pretty much almost been extinguished, you know, over the last couple of years from injuries. And, you know, Derek Holland was hurt. They had other guys like Colby Lewis hurt, and now Yu Darvish. And, you know, even in the non-pitching end of things, you know, Prince Fielder, they make a big trade with Detroit 2 winters ago. And then, he's got the neck injury. He missed almost all of last year. This spring already, Jurickson Profar, the prized young infielder, re-injured his shoulder, and now he's going to miss a second consecutive season. And there's questions about whether he's going to be, you know, even have a career after this.
Scott, I think it'll be fun to watch. If he's healthy, Prince Fielder hitting in that ballpark in Arlington, if he can stay healthy, he could put up unbelievable numbers in that ballpark.
Yeah, he really can. And that's going to be one of the big things. Obviously he's going to be a favorite for comeback player of the year in the American League going right into the year. And, that's the other thing about this Darvish injury. I mean, they traded over the winter. They acquired Giovanni Gallardo from the Brewers. So, you know, they thought between Gallardo, Darvish, Derek Holland, and some others that finally they were healthier and their pitching was going to be in good shape. They were going to get Prince Fielder back. And they really thought they were finally positioned again to make a significant run in a very much improved American League West. And, you know, now you're right, Fielder's going to be fun to watch, but no Profar, no Darvish. And, the Mariners are much better. The Angels had the best record in the American League last year. So, you know, who knows how the Rangers will do, but it doesn't look real great right now.
You know, kind of going a different direction. This morning I was working at home. I was writing my notes for the show, and I had the MLB Network on, and it came across that Dontrelle Willis was going to go ahead and retire. He was trying to make a comeback once again with the Milwaukee Brewers. I guess it just wasn't going real well for him. And I'll tell you what, I was pulling for him. I always liked him. I thought he was a fun guy to watch perform. He loved to play. And, well, I thought there for a while early on in his career with Miami, he could have been one of the really fresh faces of baseball.
Yeah, no question about that. Yeah, I'm on the same page right there with you, Coach. He, I mean, when he had it going, there were a couple things. One, he was a really, really good pitcher for a couple years there. He was one of the best in the league. And he was just, it was one of those certain pitchers, it's like looking at a work of art, and he was that kind of guy, not just in his results and the stuff he had, but he had that classic old-fashioned, really high leg kick, uh-huh. You know, almost like a ballerina on the mound. That was very memorable, and it was just unique. You don't see too many guys anymore with that leg kick that high. The other thing was he always had a huge smile on his face. He was a friendly guy. He was great for baseball because he always smiled, and he was just one of those guys that when you watched him pitch, whether it was in person or on television, just his reactions just exuded. It was just pure joy in what he did.
We're visiting with Scott Miller, national baseball writer, Bleacher Report, joining us on the Corky's Hotline. I'm taking a look at the Chicago Cubs right now, and I know spring training, you know, you can take records with a grain of salt, but they're 1-8 right now. There's some high expectations, I think, for this Chicago Cub team. Joe Maddon, all these young players, and Chris Bryant, I don't know if he's going to start the season with the ball club. I think they're probably going to bring him up, you know, a month or so into the season to save a year on arbitration. But what are you making out of the Cubs right now in spring training?
Yeah, you know, I'm eager. I'm going to spend some time with them when I get over to Arizona. I'm eager to see it for myself. You're right, that 1-8 record. You know, games don't mean anything. And young guys, I know they have had a couple big moments. I mean, Chris Bryant's already hit a couple of big home runs. Within the last few days, they also had Soler, Bryant, and Javi Baez went back-to-back-to-back with homers. So they've had some individual moments that have really whetted the appetite of Cubs fans. But, you know, you're right, how much stock you put in a 1-8 record. I know, you know, some managers believe with a young team like that, that it's a little bit more important to win in spring training than it is with other teams, simply because with a young team like that, you want to kind of, you know, you want to grow their confidence from this time of the year on versus, you know, if it's a team like we were talking about a little bit ago, like the Washington Nationals, you know, if they're 1-8 in spring training, it's like, well, you know, whoop-de-doo, because they're veterans and they won the division last year, and a lot of those guys played on the team that had the best record in baseball 3 years ago. So for that reason, some people say, well, you know, their results in spring training are less important perhaps than a team like the Cubs. But, you know, I think you could flip that around too and say the Cubs, the youth they have, the youthful enthusiasm probably isn't going to get dampened and cause guys to lose confidence in the first couple weeks of spring training.
Scotty, one team that hasn't slowed down since last year, they didn't win the World Series, but they feel confident about their lineup, their pitching staff this year, Kansas City. They're off to a 10-1 start in spring training.
Yeah, and isn't that funny? I mean, you know, it's almost like they're an afterthought in that division, even after getting the World Series last year. Nationally, I'm seeing more people talk about the Tigers, figuring, yeah, even with Scherzer, the Tigers ought to win the division again, especially with Yonas Cespedes on the team. Victor Martinez, Miguel Cabrera, those three, they're probably going to score a million runs this year. So people are talking about them. Everybody loves how the White Sox have improved themselves, you know, helping their lineup, their bullpen, and their rotation with Samardzija and David Robertson of the Yankees and Adam LaRoche. Cleveland's improved. It's almost like Kansas City's an afterthought in that division. But, yeah, you look up, again, if you put any stock at all in spring training results, you know, 10-1. They've got that back end of the bullpen back. That's a big thing. I do think losing James Shields here to San Diego, I think that's one reason why I kind of bypassed them a little bit in looking ahead to the year, because I really think removing his 200 innings is going to hurt that rotation. I know a lot of people say, well, yeah, but look, you know, he didn't help him in October. But, yeah, well, he helped him a ton down the stretch in September, and there's no way they would have even been playing in October if not for what James Shields did from April through September. So you remove him, I think that's going to hurt. It'd be interesting to see how often they can get leads to their bullpen, because the guys, those back three monsters are still there, so it's still going to be a 6 or 7 inning game when you're playing the Royals.
I mean, you were talking about Detroit a minute ago with Cespedes and You know, the big boppers in the middle of the lineup, a couple of those big boppers. One of them, Mr. Miguel Cabrera's got to get healthy.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I was in Lakeland actually Sunday, just a few days ago. And, yeah, Brad Ausmus is fairly confident that both Cabrera and Victor Martinez will be ready to go when the bell rings. But, yeah, I mean, like you said, you know, Cabrera coming off that ankle surgery, foot surgery, and it's just been within the past few days this week that he's been cleared to run. He was running on one of those treadmills that are underwater that, you know, so you can still get in shape without full body weight pounding your legs. And it's just this week he's been cleared to do more than that. You know, anything with a big body like him and with the injury history he's had, that is, I think, you're right, a significant concern. You know, I do know, I asked Brad Ausmus on Sunday when I was there, I said, you know, you could spin it positively from the standpoint that Miguel Cabrera and Victor Martinez, they're both older, veteran players. And, yeah, you'd like to have them at spring training. But I asked Ausmus, is it, you know, might it in the long run turn into a good thing that, you know, maybe they miss a lot of the spring, they stay off their feet, and then maybe, you know, they're fresher come August and September than they've been in the last couple of years. And, you know, Brad considered the question for a minute and kind of shook his head. He said, I'd rather have them in camp right now. So, you know, that told me a little bit of concern there for both of those guys.
And we're visiting with Scott Miller, national baseball writer for Bleacher Report, joining us on the Corky's Hotline on this Friday afternoon. Scott, where's Major League Baseball right now with Josh Hamilton? They waiting for an arbitrator to rule on this?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that thing's been kept under lock and key, a lot of closed lips around that. But, you know, the one report from a week or so ago was that I think the Los Angeles Times reported that, you know, the committee was deadlocked. There's like two people from the owner's side, two people from the players' union side that are kind of the panel to decide punishment. I think Rob Manfred, the commissioner, and one other on his side, and then, you know, the players' union side. And what it looks like right now is a deadlock in which, as you said, then an arbiter comes in. And, I don't know. It's any way you slice it, it's not good for the Angels. It's not good for Josh Hamilton. I think Yahoo reported a week or so ago that, you know, that he had gotten into a argument with his wife, and then he ended up at a strip club and was doing cocaine. And what doesn't make sense to me also is he was rehabbing. When word came out right before spring training, coach, about his shoulder injury, that, it hasn't rehabbed as much as well as they had hoped, and he was going to have to undergo surgery. He underwent surgery. And all that rehab was taking place in Houston. Well, he lives in the Dallas area with his family does, his wife, his three daughters, and Josh. They live in the Dallas area. So, you know, my ears perked up right away when they said he's rehabbing in Houston.
Right.
You know, again, details are murky, but, you know, what's he doing in Houston, A, when his family lives in Dallas, B, when the Angels are in spring training, they didn't even have a locker for him. So, you know, there's a lot of things that don't add up, and there's a lot of things that make you very concerned for Josh Hamilton's well-being as a person, let alone as a baseball player.
Angels still the team to beat in that division?
You know, I like the Mariners, believe it or not. I think they made some significant strides last year. I think some of those young guys like, Kyle Seager and the kid behind the plate, Zanino, I think some of these young guys are really right to the point where they're going to enter the sweet spot of their careers. You know, we saw how much Robinson Cano helped them last year. They've got another middle-of-the-lineup bat now to help him, signing Nelson Cruz from the Orioles. And we know all about their pitching. I mean, as long as King Felix stays healthy, and they got those young guys like Taiwan Walker and James Paxton, the Iwakuma kid. I'm thinking they're trending upward. In the Angels, you know, Jared Weaver, you know, God bless him, he's had a great career, and even with less velocity than he's had, he's still been able to figure it out. But he's another year older. If the Angels, you know, if they don't have Josh Hamilton for a significant amount of time, Albert Pujols is another year older. I'm not completely sold on the Angels. I'm thinking it might be the Mariners' year this year.
Sounds like the Padres are having a pretty good camp so far.
Yeah, it does. That's another team. I'm eager to get to Arizona and see. I'll tell you what. I mean, you dismiss the importance of many things in spring training, but, you know, that beating they laid on the Giants the other day with all the home runs, you know. Even in spring training, we just haven't heard things like that from the Padres for a long time. And, watching James Shields pitch last night, there's a lot to like about this club. And, you know, no guarantee that they're going to win the division or even win a wild card slot, but boy, they're going to be interesting this year. I think they are certainly positioned to win. They ought to contend for a playoff spot at the very least into the late part of the season. Buddy Black's finally got some depth. I mean, you know, you were talking about the defense. I mean, talking to scouts as I was touring Florida, you know, some of them that know me and know where I live, they're asking about the Padres, and we compared notes. And, you know, it's funny. There is a concern about the Padres' defense by scouts. But, you know, the flip side of that, Coach, to me is, okay, even if let's see how Will Myers does in center field. Justin Upton in left, Matt Kemp in right. Well, they've got depth this year. If they open the season with Venable and Maben on the bench, for example, they can mix and match. And Bud Black just has not had – he hasn't even had – enough legitimate major league players to start in recent years, let alone putting a really quality team on the field with some weapons on the bench that he's able to deploy.
Hey, as I let you get out of here, what did you think about Will Ferrell? Five different games yesterday, 10 different teams.
You know, I saw some of that on TV last night myself, again, in between the Florida and Arizona runs. And, you know, I'll tell you what, I think sometimes, and I'm guilty of this too, a few years ago I think I would have said, come on, that's a gimmick, and et cetera, et cetera. But there's nothing wrong with having a little bit of fun. We have to remember, I think sometimes we get caught up in these big contracts and in the drama. We forget that sports is fun. And
supposed
the other
to be.
Thing, yeah, it is, isn't it? Sometimes I think people lose sight of that. The other thing is, Commissioner Rob Manfred, you know, his one of his top agenda items in taking over from Bud Selig is to look. They've got to market the game better. They've got to make sure that the game appeals to the younger generation and middle aged generation that maybe have gone over to football or basketball. And I think I would never want the powers that be to sell this game out. I mean, I've been covering it for 25 years. It's still my first love, and I'm very protective of baseball's turf. But within that, I think if they want to, they do need to market better. They definitely need to make, reconnect and connect with young fans. And if they want to take one day in spring training when the games don't mean anything, and, put on this dog and pony show with Will Ferrell, you know what? If it makes people pay attention to baseball at this time of year and maybe hooks a few new fans and all of a sudden now people are watching Will Ferrell yesterday and 3 weeks from now when the season opens, their interest is still there, I say it's a good thing.
Very well put, Scotty. Hey, thanks. Safe travels to Arizona. We'll catch up with you soon.
Not too much longer till I'm actually going to see you in the local press box when the games count.
I'm looking forward to it. Hey, be well.
You too, Coach. Thanks.
There you go. Scott Miller, national baseball writer, does a great job for Bleacher Report on the Corky's Hotline. We'll step aside rest of the way until the top of the hour. We're going to get out to your phone calls this afternoon. San Diego, 858-457-1090. Our toll-free number, 877-792-1090. Let's load it up. You want to tell me what site you would have picked for the new proposed stadium? Give me your thoughts on the Chargers, what they've got done in free agency. They signed veteran cornerback Jimmy Wilson here just about an hour ago to a two-year deal. A local kid out of Point Loma High School. Try to help shore up that secondary. Lot to talk about. You got until 6 o'clock to get to me right here on San Diego Sports Leader, the Mighty 1090.
The Mighty 1090 Hotline is presented by Corky's.
Call 1-800-901-1102. Corky!
Hey! Thanks again to Scott Miller joining us on the Corky's Hotline, national baseball writer for Bleacher Report. Hope everyone having a great Friday. I know you're probably sitting in traffic right now, but sit back and enjoy. I'm going to duck in a quick call before we get to the bottom of the hour, and we are going to have one more guest. He has checked in. Former third base coach of the San Francisco Giants, Tim Flannery, going to join us for a few minutes. He is performing tonight. We're going to tell you about that. You may want to still get out there and hear Flan and the Lunatic Fringe. They're going to be up at Cheers in Ramona. We'll tell you more about that after the bottom of the hour. Let's duck in a quick call. He's been waiting a while. Jim in Oceanside, you're on with Coach John Quintero on the Mighty 1090. How are we doing?
Pretty good, Coach. Great show this afternoon.
Well, thank you. We're trying hard.
A couple of comments and then a rumor I wanted to run by you.
Okay.
Number one, Vince Wolfert going to Houston.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I'm a Texas fan. I have a residence down there. I think, it's going to be an exceptional addition because he's got Clowney on the outside on one side and Watt on the other side.
I know it.
So if he can occupy two and sometimes three guys, it's only going to make the outside rush better. It's going to make that inside linebacking much better.
Absolutely, 100% agree with you, and that's what I've been saying for years. They keep wanting to go here in San Diego, go after these rush outside linebackers. You could get the greatest rush outside linebackers in the world, but if you don't have a defensive tackle knocking that guard and center back into the face of the quarterback, those guys just get pushed upfield.
Well, ideally, you got a guy in the middle that can occupy three people, a la Jerome Brown, you know, those kind of guys.
Yeah, those guys are really Hall of Fame talents.
I know, but anyway, hey, let's let that go. I wanted to also say that Orlando Franklin has stated, and it says on his website, he signed to play left tackle, and his agent said that. Could you find out where he's going to play?
I heard that the article I read said he was going to play guard, and it didn't specify which guard.
Yeah, well, remember Vasquez, he was playing right guard up there for the Broncos.
Yeah, but I don't think he's going to play left tackle here. I mean, King Dunlap didn't do anything to be the left tackle.
Yeah, I think Orlando's going to be the left guard, but could you check that out?
Yeah, and again, they may one of the things that they do with the Chargers, and I think it's a wise thing to do to develop linemen and get guys when one guy goes down. They have those guys work at all the different positions, so they're interchangeable, and I like that. I think that's a great philosophy. Hey, Jimmy, I got to get to the bottom of the hour. Have a great weekend.
All right, thank you, Coach.
Take care. We're going to get to the bottom of the hour. Linda Welby will get you her final update. When we come back, we're going to be joined for a few minutes with longtime major league player, longtime major league coach, and one of my former broadcast partners here at the Mighty 1090, Tim Flannery, next, right here on San Diego Sports Leader, the Mighty 1090.
This is the home of the Padres.
High fly ball, got a ton of that. Big, strong fellow ball going, ball gone. Home run, three-run shot.
Little Middlebrooks, good heavens, talk about car rush.
San Diego Sports Leader, the Mighty 1090.
Mighty 1090 time, 5:35. We're going to try to track down Tim Flannery. He's going to be playing tonight up at Cheers in Ramona at 8 o'clock tonight. It's Tim Flannery and the Lunatic Fringe. How about that? Haven't talked to Flann since he announced his retirement. Of course, he's back here living in North San Diego County. If you're looking to reserve a table tonight at Cheers, you can give him a call at 760-789 0270, that's 760-789-0270, $25 to get in tonight. Be a lot of fun seeing Tim Flannery in action. I remember back in 2004 when he was my post-game partner, we used to do the show at the Manchester Grand Hyatt, and we had a lot of fun down there. Berkeley Hart would come down, Eve Sellis, Jack Tension, that was good stuff. We had a lot of fun down there. We used to pack him in. I remember on Friday nights, we used to have Brian Giles stop by, and Jilly had come in and do an interview, and a lot of the players started coming down. And boy, there are a couple of nights. We had like 350 people there. That was a lot of fun. And Really got to know Tim Flannery really well that year, and he's a great guy. And I think all of us in baseball, when we heard that Tim Flannery was announcing his retirement from baseball, I think guys that really love the game and really appreciated what Flann brought all the time, I think we were all a little bit disappointed. But, hey, good things do have to come to an end. He's out and about and getting it done now, and his music. And, again, he's going to be tonight, Tim Flannery and the Lunatic Fringe up at Cheers in Ramona at 8 o'clock. And we head out to the Corky's Hotline. My friend Tim Flannery, a.k.a. Johnny Strayhorse, joins us on the Mighty 1090. Flann, how we doing?
I'm doing great, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, I follow on Facebook, and I hit a lot of likes when it comes to when your page pops up.
Yeah, we put a lot of funny stuff up there, you know. We try to keep it light, and especially with the music, you know, let people know what we're playing. And it's once a year we come out here to Ramona. We love Ramona. We love the people out here. And Sean, who owns Cheers and runs Cheers, has always been so great to us. And for us to be able to come out here and actually do something different, we kind of break away from our own music and kind of turn it into a honky-tonk, sweaty, country, cold beer drinking, dancing night. So we're excited about it. And then first thing in the morning, I got to head over to Arizona. They want me in uniform for 3 days and be a celebrity coach, which I've been trying my whole life to be that.
Oh, that's great. No, I read that you were going to go over there. They invited you over for about 3 days, and it'll be good for you to get over there and see Boach, considering his little health mishap here a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, you know, Boach has that. His father had heart issues. It's hereditary. And every year at the EKG, he hardly ever passes it, and then they run other tests on him, and he's usually, you know, fine. This year, he didn't pass it, and about the same time, luckily, he started having some chest pains, you know. So they took him next door over to the hospital and put stents in, and you know, they found it in time, and he's already ready to go.
Well, I'm glad he found it in time. I didn't find it in time, and I got a couple of stents. I'll never forget in 2009 when I had that heart attack. You guys were in town, and on Friday night, last thing I said after I was talking to you, you were hitting fungos. I go, hey, I'll see you tomorrow. Well, I never made it till the next day.
Gosh, I couldn't even imagine, you know. And you know, that's quite frankly, there was a lot of that played into my decision to walk away. You know, I've done this 33 years as a coach, as a baseball man, as a player, been to 5 World Series, won 3 of them, and I didn't really feel like I had an opportunity to manage, and I just said, you know, why should I just continue on? You know, there's another phase of my life. I'd like to see where it leads, and more than anything, I wanted to heal up myself because it's a tough year, especially when you run the board and now 2 months later, 2.5 months later, you're back in spring training and the demands to do it again. It's a little unrealistic if you really think about how you can win 3 World Series in 5 years and then they want you to do it again. So I just felt like it was time for me to heal up a little bit and continue on with the next project in my life. You know, Boach said something before game 7. He brought the whole team together in Kansas City, and he quoted Gladiator. He said, what you do in this life will live on through eternity. And it hit me different than probably the other boys. It didn't hit me like we got to go out and win the Kansas City Royals, because I was planning on doing that anyway. But I've gotten involved with raising money and helping people. We've raised a couple hundred grand with the Brian Stowe, and we started this foundation, a nonprofit thing called the Love Harder Foundation, to help causes around that are important to us. And that's when Boach said that, it kind of hit me between the eyes, where now it's time for me to do something that maybe leave a different type of legacy other than just as a baseball man. Maybe I can touch people's lives, and our music seems to be the chord that strikes their interest and has led us a lot of great places. You know, we're playing Arizona here in a couple of days, playing Cheers tonight in Ramona, and then we head off to Redding, the 1,600-seat theater in Northern California. They just sold out, so they're getting a good dose of the Lunatic Fringe, and they're liking it. So we're having a blast with it.
Hey, are you going to Cave Creek this year?
I don't think I'm going to have a chance. The first night there, I have, you know, I'm going to be doing some pregame and postgame up there in San Francisco with Comcast Television. So I'm going to meet with those guys, and, you know, I'm going to do like 50 games. And then the next night is Jake TV's fundraiser. He took over for Barry Zito with the Wounded Warrior Project, and where he brings the Wounded Warriors for the military over there, and we play a show and he feeds them, and they go to a ball game and really makes them feel great. You know, we get a chance to look him in the eyes and thank them and honor them through baseball conversation, food, and music. So that will be Monday night, and then Tuesday night I'm home for a day of taxes, and then I head to Reading. I play Reading, and then Sunday morning I leave for Costa Rica for 10 days because there's a good swell coming, Coach.
Oh, I like it. I like it. Hey, are you back surfing on a regular basis with all your North County cronies?
Yeah, it's been really great to paddle out to see the boys. You know, I've been surfing the same spot for about 30 years, so to be able to come home, because I only got home probably 12, 13 days last year. So it really feels good to be home in San Diego. And it really feels good not to have to have a game every day, and you feel good if you win, you feel bad if you lose. It's a taxing thing being a coach. I think I've done it long enough to where, you know, what's the other line Gladiator says? If you win the crowd, you win your freedom. So, you know, I'm out amongst them and just really excited to see what the next phase of my life and where it leads to.
Tim Flannery, our guest on the Corky's Hotline, he and his group are performing tonight. Tim Flannery and the Lunatic Fringe. They're going to be at Cheers in Ramona, 8 o'clock tonight, $25 to get in to reserve a table. You can give them a call at 760-789-0270. Flann, when you were coaching third base, in Game 7 of the World Series this past season, did you know that was going to be your last game? Had you made your decision?
I did. I kind of made my decision in the middle of the year, and it was a tough physical year. So I made it a point to every ballpark I went to every place I went to actually slow everything down, smell the roses, smell the whole thing that I've had to so blessed to be able to do, because it's an amazing lifestyle. It really is. But I've said it before, and I said it when I retired, there's collateral damage that comes with that lifestyle. I mean, sure, there's a lot of money and there's glory and fame, but on the other side of it, you know, I've buried a few friends along the way, put a lot into rehabs, and people have lost marriages, and quite frankly, I was starting to blow an engine and I was leaking some oil. So it was like, it was time for me to come home and heal up. And it was the best decision I think I've ever made.
Let me ask you this. I know you're up there with the Giants, but you're focusing on what's going on here in San Diego as well. You like all the moves the Padres made?
I really do. AJ has reached out and not only got quality players, he's got quality people. Barmas is going to be fabulous for that club and in the clubhouse. Myers is exciting with just raw power. Tampa Bay, he has a great arm, great defender. Matt Kemp, you know, time will tell, playing every day. But, you know, Norris behind the plate, Shields. I mean, you got to play the season. You know, I read it the other day that the Padres won the offseason. And I looked at my wife, I go, what does that mean? You know, because you never know. I never expected us to do what we did. And quite frankly, when the Padres swept our ball club the last week of the season, all of us coaches said, what the heck? We're terrible. So I ended up booking all my music gigs. And then we go to Pittsburgh and Crawford hits that home run. And these guys just know how to play when their backs are against the wall. And next thing you know, we run the board again. And it was just unbelievable. And the time away from it now where I don't have to go back and do it again, I can still think about those three world championships. I can still think about the time in San Diego as a ball player, going to two World Series, being a part of this amazing sacred. And the magnitude of what we pulled off blows my mind now that I have time to really sit back and enjoy it, think about it. And afterwards, some of the messages and some of the text messages and the emails and the phone calls from former players, I mean, guys like Jim Kittycott and Rick Sutcliffe and Ned Colletti. I mean, I don't even know how these guys got my number, but they were leaving these beautiful messages thanking me. But I think when I mentioned the collateral damage on the road, and there's a lot of guys that have played this game a long time that have been affected by the grind of the season, and I think my quote kind of struck a chord with them, and they made it a point to reach out and just congratulate me for getting out alive and pulling off what we pulled off for all those years. So, you know, I feel really blessed that all of it's still intact, and I'm very blessed that they can't wait to get me back there tomorrow. I mean, I told them I thought I retired, and they go, we need you over here for a few days. Just come over and get in your uniform, and I thought that was great, you know, because a year Boch fired me in San Diego, they paid me $100,000 not to come.
Well, hey, maybe Boch wants to.
I had a year left on a contract, and they paid me not to show up. Yeah, they didn't want me to come.
Well, hey, maybe Boch wants to get you over there for 3 days to yell at you or something.
I told him I laid him off this time.
Hey, that's a good one. Hey, last question. I'll let you get out of here and get to your sound check and all that good stuff. When do you get your third championship ring?
On April 18th, they've invited me to not only come up and be a part of the ring ceremony, they've asked me to sing the national anthem, and I've done it about four times with the Grateful Dead on Grateful Dead night up there and during the playoffs and World Series, but I'm going to go up and do this one all by myself, just me and my old 1934 Gibson guitar, and it's going to be a great night. We got a brand new album coming out called Three Ring Circus. I've got a new song called Three Ring Circus about 33 years on the road and all the crazies that you meet. And then all the money from that is going to go to the Love Harder Project, and we're planning on doing all we can to help people through the music and just through the energy of love.
Well, hey, great to catch up with you. I'll look forward to seeing you one of these nights, hopefully at Petco Park during the season.
Yeah, I'll come down there and cause some trouble.
Yeah, well, hey, we're counting on it, my friend.
All righty, you can count on it.
Hey, be well. Tell Donna I said hi.
Okay, Coach. Thanks for everything, buddy.
You're welcome. There you go. Tim Flannery up in Ramona tonight. Tim Flannery in the Lunatic Fringe. Yeah, cheers in Ramona, 8 o'clock tonight. To reserve a table, 760-789-0270. I would do that right away because I would imagine normally when Flan's playing, that place is sold out. And, of course, cheers. They got some good vittles up there, that's for sure. We're going to step aside. We'll come back, get ready to close it out. And reminder, we got Aztec basketball tonight. That's coming up with a pregame show on Craig Elston at 8 o'clock. And tip-off tonight, semifinals Mountain West Conference against Colorado State with Ted Leitner will be at 8:30. Back to close it up on a Friday right here on San Diego Sports Leader. Thanks for tuning in to the Mighty 1090.